Praise the Lord, dear friends. Today, in our reflection on Jesus of the Gospels, we are going to concentrate on a particular individual, John called the Baptist, who came to prepare the way for the Messiah, Jesus. All the four Gospels speak about John, the forerunner, the one who came announcing the coming of the Messiah. In ancient times, when the kings visited a faraway town or village, he used to send messengers ahead of him to prepare the people for a reception and also to prepare the way for the royal chariots and for the royal escort. The roads were not good in those days and even today. And the messengers were to prepare or ask the people to prepare the way for the coming of the king. So this kind of preparation is familiar for us even in India, even today. When the president of the nation or the prime minister of the country is visiting a town or a village, the authorities of that particular state or town will make sure that the roads are in proper order, that the security is in place, that no unwanted terrorist attacks on the president or the prime minister will take place. So all sorts of preparations will be made even today in every nation. Even in the most advanced countries, such security measures are always taken care of. So this is something like preparing the way for the coming of the king. And this is what John the Baptist is supposed to do. He is sent as a messenger announcing the coming of the expected one, the Lord, the Messiah. When did he come? How did he come? Who was he? What did he do? As for the time of his coming, it is the Gospel of Luke that gives us very precise information. In chapter 3 of the Gospel of Luke, verses 1 and 2, we have this concrete indication of the time. In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Ituria and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. Three indications are given as far as the time is concerned. The first is the international situation, the history of the nations, of the world. And the world history is here related to the history of the Empire of Rome. And the emperor of that time, the second emperor of Rome, the first one was Augustus, Octavian called the Augustus. And the second is Tiberius. Tiberius became emperor or king in Rome in 14 AD. So the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius will be around the year 28 AD, end of 27, beginning of 28, the transition. This could be the approximate time of the coming of John. After the international indication, Luke concentrates on the region of Palestine. There we have many rulers mentioned by name. The first is Pontius Pilate, the governor of Judea. We have already seen when Herod the Great died in BC 4, his territory was divided among three of his sons, Archelaus, Antipas, and Philip. And we also saw that Archelaus was deported in AD 6, and the region where he was ruler, namely Judea, Samaria, and Idumea, this particular area came under direct Roman rule. And the ruler was called procurator or governor. And such a procurator was Pontius Pilate. Pilate is the name. Pontius is a kind of indication of the place where he comes from. Pilate from the province of Pontus, in today's Turkey, is Pontus. This Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea from AD 26 to 36. So it is during his procuratorship that John the Baptist appeared as the prophet. Then we have the local ruler of Galilee. And Luke doesn't mention Perea, but we know from history that Herod, called Antipas, the son of the great Herod, was ruler of Galilee and Perea. And another person is Philip, another son of Herod the Great by another mother. So Antipas, Herod Antipas and Philip were brothers or cousins, so to say, sons of the same father, but from different mothers. It is this Philip who built a town in Panaeus and named it Caesarea in honor of Caesar Tiberius. And this is called Caesarea Philippi to distinguish it from another Caesarea Maritima, which was built by Herod the Great and was named in honor of Caesar Augustus. So this is Philip, and these areas of Philip and Antipas, Herod, and Pontius Pilate, these regions will be also important for us when we deal with the life and work of Jesus. So John the Baptist is identified, his time is identified with the local political rulers. And then Luke moves on to the history of the religion of Israel. And there he mentions two people by name. And they are Annas and Caiaphas as the high priests. We know from history there was only one high priest at a time. The supreme authority of the people of Israel was called high priest, and he was the president of Sanhedrin. And there was only one person at a time. Then why is it Luke speaks about Annas and Caiaphas being high priests? The reason, it seems, Annas was so important. He was high priest from AD 6 to AD 15. And then he was deposed and his sons were made high priests in turn. Four of the sons of Annas were high priests one or other time. And a son-in-law called Caiaphas was the high priest for the longest time. And he was high priest from AD 18 to 36. So even though Caiaphas was the acting high priest, the real power center was Annas, the old man, who was pulling the strings from behind the curtain. So Annas and Caiaphas. So we have a very definite period. And historians say it should be end of AD 27, beginning of AD 28. That's when John appeared from the desert. And Luke tells us that the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness, in the desert. Luke has already told us that John was in the wilderness. In chapter 1, verse 80, we read, "The child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day he appeared publicly to Israel." So this particular person, son of Zechariah, son of the promise, was in the desert, and at this time, around the year 27-28, the word of God comes to him. He becomes a prophet. And now, Mark, introducing the ministry of Jesus, starts with John the Baptist, and that is being introduced by quoting two prophecies. In the Gospel of Mark, we read like this, in the first chapter, verses 1 and 2. "The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God." And instead of speaking about Jesus Christ, Son of God, Mark goes on to quote two prophecies under one title. In verses 2 and 3, we have this quotation. "As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, 'See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way.' the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Mark is telling us that he is quoting from Isaiah. But what he does is quoting from Malachi. And fusing two quotations from Malachi and Isaiah, we are given a biblical or Old Testament interpretation of the events that he is going to narrate. The first quotation is from the book of Malachi, chapter 3, verse 1. "See, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me." Two things of importance occurs here in this quotation. First, Mark doesn't say that he is quoting from Malachi. He says he is quoting from Isaiah, and the second part of the quotation is from Isaiah. But what he quotes, actually, the first part is from Malachi. And then there is also a kind of change in the quotation. In Malachi, it is said, "I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me." And when it is quoted, it is said, "I am sending my messenger before you." Malachi was actually expecting God himself to come as judge. And it is explained further in the book of Malachi, chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. "Lo, I'll send you the prophet Elijah before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the hearts of children to their parents, so that I will not come and strike the land with a curse." Malachi had envisaged that the Lord will come to establish, execute judgment. And in order that the judgment will not be a judgment of destruction, the people had to be told to prepare themselves, to convert themselves, to get reconciled in the family as well as in the society. So Malachi was envisaging the coming of the Lord as the judge. And now, interpreting this prophecy as being fulfilled, Mark tells us that is the Lord is coming, but not God, Lord, but the Messiah, the Lord, the Messiah. So the Messiah is presented as the Lord, and he is coming to execute judgment. So reinterpreting the prophecy of Malachi, Mark tells us that the messenger who was promised by God is John the Baptist, and he is preparing the way for the Messiah. This was quite an agreement with the expectation of the people of Israel, the Jewish people. They awaited the coming of Elijah, and they were preparing for it. Now, Elijah, when he comes, he will prepare the people, calling to conversion, preparing their hearts. And now, taking this quotation from Malachi and connecting with Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3, Mark achieves something special. Let us read Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. "A voice cries out, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill will be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." Isaiah, the so-called Deutero-Isaiah or second Isaiah, speaking to the people in exile, giving them consolation and comfort, promising that their exile, their slavery is coming to an end. So in Isaiah 40, verse 1, we read like this. Comfort my people, says the Lord. Why is the comfort? "Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term and that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins." The slavery is coming to an end, and that is the good news. Now, in the historical context, the prophet speaking to the exiles in Babylon is telling them that the Lord is coming to bring them back to Israel. From Babylon to Jerusalem, the straight way would be through the Arabian desert. There is no way there. So the prophet is asking to build a superhighway right across the desert in order not to waste time going through the fertile crescent that may take thousands of kilometers. Here, the Prophet is asking to make a straight highway in the desert. So prepare in the wilderness a way of the Lord. Now, this way was prepared for the Lord to come with the exiles back to Jerusalem. So from this context, the prophecy is taken and applied in another context. And in the application, the terms changes. The terms change, and we'll read, instead of preparing the way in the wilderness, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. So the wilderness has changed. Changed because of the changed situation. John appeared in the desert of Judea, where Jordan falls into the Red Sea. This is the desert area. And it is in the desert area that John appeared. John was in the desert, and he started preaching to the people in the desert. So the voice was crying out in the wilderness. Now, in quoting Isaiah, the evangelist made a little shift, just changed the comma a little bit. A voice of the one crying, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, was the original text. Now they put the comma in a different way. The voice of the one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. They did not change any word, only change the comma, and the sense becomes a bit different. It's no more preparing a super highway in the Arabian desert. John is asking to prepare the way for the Lord in the hearts of the people. And John is preaching in the wilderness. So this is how John is being presented. And then, before giving the message of John, Mark indicates the appearance of John. First of all, he appeared in desert. He came in the desert preaching. And then Mark gives two specifications about his clothing and about his diet. Now, John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. Why this specification? The first explanation would be, this is how he appeared, and this is how he lived. And this is the picture of an austere ascetic, a person who was familiar with the desert, the dry area, an ascetic, a person who is acquainted with sacrifice, a person standing apart from the society, not in the luxury, but in the frugality of the desert. But there is more to it. That more we can find, especially in the dress. When Mark specifies the clothing, there is an indication to the Old Testament. In the second book of Kings, chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, we read. He said to them, "What sort of a man was he who came to meet you and told you these things?" They answered him, "A hairy man with a leather belt around his waist." A hairy man is an interpretation of the RSV. A man with a hairy mantle is the original. With a leather girdle around his waist, he said, "It is Elijah the Tishbite." So this is the hairy mantle and the leather belt identifies John as the Elijah. So it's already an indication that Elijah has come alive, or a prophet like Elijah has appeared. And the second is the diet, the food. The food, he said, he was eating locusts and wild honey. Of course, this is a meal normally eaten by the Bedouins of the desert. But it can also mean something else. The word translated as locusts can also mean some wild berry. And the Greek fathers interpreted this text as something vegetable, some grass or berry or some plants that John could eat. And it seems to be more reasonable to conclude that this is deals with a wild berry rather than the locusts that is being eaten. Not that John could not eat, but it looks more reasonable and sensible to interpret this as wild berry rather than locust. And the wild honey could be some kind of a soft drawn from plants in the wilderness, the fathers interpret. Whether it is locust or wild berry, one thing is clear. This man is an ascetic. He doesn't belong to the ordinary life. He was a prophet, and he was a prophet of protest. And his life was a sign calling to conversion, calling to change of mind. And we'll see what kind of message he is giving, what kind of conversion he is asking the people. Now let us close with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending John as the forerunner who prepared the way for the Messiah by his life. Enable us to understand him. Enable us to appreciate his life of austerity, his life of prayer and penance. Enable us to imitate and prepare ourselves for the coming of the Messiah, to receive him in our hearts and minds. We make this prayer through Christ our Lord.